green planet.
Hi, and welcome to Radio Gaga at Planet FM 104.6, sharing life and experiences from disabled people, by disabled people, for disabled people. Each week, we bring you stories based around our multiple abilities. You don't have to wait any longer to listen to insightful views, news, and reviews from around your community. We invite you to join us as we show you our community. Radio Gaga wants you to understand our dreams for a truly inclusive Auckland.
I'm Anna, your host for today. In this week's program, making New Zealand more accessible to people with disabilities could have far-reaching economic benefits for our country, a new study says. We speak to Graham Roberts, a man living with Parkinson's, on what life is like living with the disease. We'll have a discussion on disability and dating and relationships, exploring an important subject many people avoid talking about. And finally, we will have a spoken word piece from local poet Matt Namitua, who lives with cerebral palsy. Thanks for tuning in. Now here's this week's current affairs story.
In current affairs this week, a proposed act to improve accessibility for disabled New Zealanders will save taxpayers $270 million annually, a new study claims. The New Zealand Institute of Economic Research found enabling 14,000 disabled people to work will boost economic output by at least $2.3 billion and save taxpayers $270 million in welfare benefits. The Access Alliance, a group of nine disability advocacy agencies, are calling for new accessibility legislature in response to the study. The Accessibility for New Zealanders Act will set access standards for customer service, employment, information and communications, public transport and public spaces. The Access Alliance want all political parties to support and commit to introduce this act prior to the general election in September. Entitled Valuing Access to Work, the report highlights the economic benefits of removing barriers to employment for disabled people. The $270 million reduction in disability benefit costs and increased tax revenues of $287 million alone is a rise in real GDP of $862 million, according to the report. Statistics New Zealand states the unemployment rate amongst disabled people currently stands at 60%. This is Rupu Bhatia reporting for Radio Gaga. Now we have the song Next to You by Jordan Sparks, followed by an interview with Graham Roberts, who lives with Parkinson's disease.
You're in my head like a song on the radio. All I know is I gotta get next to you. Yeah, I gotta get next to you. Sitting here turning minutes into hours. Find the nerve just to call you on the telephone. Cause you don't know that I gotta get next to you. Maybe we're friends, maybe we're more. Maybe it's just my imagination, but I see you there. Too long, and it makes me start to wonder. So baby, call me crazy, but I think you feel it too. Maybe I just gotta get next to you. Oh,
Hi, my name is Joshua, and today I have a very special guest who has a disability. It's called Parkinson's disease. How are you today, sir?
I'm fine. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's it like having Parkinson's disease?
Well, perhaps I could describe something about Parkinson's to give listeners an idea of the complexity of it. Parkinson's disease is a neurological disease. It was identified 200 years ago this year by Joseph Parkinson's, Parkinson, who identified it basically as a shaking tremor disease, which is the typical sign that someone has symptom of, do you have Parkinson's? The main symptoms are tremor, rigidity of muscles, agility, not being able to move and twist and turn and do things that you normally do, and posture, where you have problems with balance and with walking as well. The one classic thing about Parkinson's is that you meet two people with Parkinson's disease, and they may have one or two similar symptoms, but their bunch of systems may be completely different. And so you can treat one person in one way medically, but you can't necessarily treat everyone with the same uniform remedy or medication. There is one gold standard drug which most of us take, and that is Sinemet. It is the most effective at the moment, but it was developed 40 years ago, and there hasn't been anything to improve on it since, and there's a lot of research going on with that. What else can I say about Parkinson's? My symptoms are 6 years old. It's usually other people who pick up the signals, and not yourself. It's very subtle with its onset. My daughter told me that I shuffled, and I deny that I shuffled, but I went to my doctor a few weeks later, and she said, basically, yes, I think you've got Parkinson's, and that's how it... Then I went from there, went to a specialist, and then was put on medication. I am very lucky in one respect. I don't have resting tremor at this stage in my hand. That may develop, but I only have tremor in my feet. So I consider myself lucky. The most irritating thing is softness of speech. Most days my speech is fine. Today it's not too bad. But sometimes you get a softening of your speech, and people can't hear you. It's very difficult to engage in conversation in meetings and discussion groups and so on. So that's about it for symptoms. It's a complex disease, and it's caused by a lack of dopamine in your brain, your reservoir of dopamine, which helps facilitate neurotransmission from your brain to your muscles for movement. Dopamine has the reservoir of it has dropped dramatically, you only get about, symptoms start to develop after you've lost about 80% of your dopamine capacity. So I think that's about, in summary, all I can tell you about Parkinson's.
Thank you for coming in, and I hope that you get better over the time of your journey, and I hope you keep yourself safe. Thank you.
Okay. Would you like me to... I could just expand on one or two other things if you wish. 6 months ago, I was in Portland in Oregon, and I went to the World Parkinson's Conference, and there were 4,600 delegates at that conference. It was just huge, and we heard the latest research papers, and we hope that hope is on the horizon for a cure. There's some very good advanced research work going on around the world. It is one neurological disease that researchers think that they can master. We'll wait and see. In New Zealand, there's some world-breaking work being done here with stem cells. And just last week, there was an announcement that they had a breakthrough with the way in which Parkinson's develops and spreads within the brain and within the body. And that work is, looks very, very promising. So we're hoping for some real progress with Parkinson's in the next few years. The other thing I should mention is that Parkinson's New Zealand has a support network of community educators throughout the country, and they provide education, information and support for people with Parkinson's, do home visits, and so that network is very valuable. There are between 5 and 7,000 cases of Parkinson's in New Zealand, but we only know of 35% of them because there's no mandatory reporting by doctors of cases that they come across. So it's a bit the size of it is a bit unknown at this stage. That is about all I can say on Parkinson's New Zealand.
Is there a website that someone can go onto if they want to find out some information about Parkinson's?
Yes, there is, and I do have it here. There is a website. The website is www.parkinsons.org.nz. So I'll just repeat that. The website, www.parkinsons.org.nz.
What's one of the biggest struggles that you've had to face?
The biggest struggle is probably psychological, just adjusting to a chronic disease. It is life-altering. Parkinson's is not, is, what do they say, it's not life-shortening. You don't die with Parkinson's, you don't die of Parkinson's, you die with it. But it is not significantly life-shortening, unlike a lot of the other neurological diseases. In terms of my lifestyle, it impacted quite drastically because I was on the verge of retirement, and so it accelerated my retirement from my job because I found I was very fatigued in the afternoon, and also I have a writing problem. I can't write now. My writing goes to a scribble. Yet, funnily enough, I can get on a keyboard or a computer and there's no problem. So instead of easing into gentle, lazy retirement, I found myself involved in getting exercise most days of the week because that keeps your muscles subtle and stretched. You don't, you're fighting rigidity of muscles pretty well all the time. So you've got medication, but the other part of that is exercise, and that has proven to be very, very valuable. One of the things that we're doing in New Zealand, or in fact it's been a worldwide trend amongst Parkinson's sufferers, is gym boxing, because it's an impact sport and it seems to be beneficial for muscles. I certainly feel more relaxed after a session with gym boxing than I would without it. So I do a bit of that. I play petanque, or French pools. I'm on the board of Parkinson's New Zealand, and that keeps me mentally fit, and that's another thing, is that you just keep yourself up to scratch because you can suffer from a bit of memory loss. I don't like multitasking. People with Parkinson's have that aspect to their symptom. And so you've got to watch the mental side of things very, very carefully. That is about it for me. As I say, I'm fully involved with Parkinson's at a local level and a national level. And so 5 years ago, I never thought that I'd be in that situation. But anyway, you make the most of it, and I enjoy helping other people who are worse off than I am.
Thank you. We have the song called stay the night by Zed, and then after we have the discussion on dating and disability.
I know that we are upside down, so hold your tongue and hear me out. I know that we were made to break, so what, I don't mind. You cue the lights, I'll draw the blinds. Don't dull the sparkle in your eyes. I know that we were made to break, so what, I don't mind. Are you gonna stay the night? Are you gonna?
Jones, and I'm in the studio with Jason and Josh, and we're going to be talking about dating and relationships and how we find the experience with our disabilities. Now, Jason has cerebral palsy and Josh has Williams syndrome, and myself, I have a visual impairment. So tell me, Jason, what are your experiences with dating and relationships?
Oh, dating and relationships. I have been in a relationship previously for about 4.5 years.
Yes, and how did you meet your partner?
Actually, meeting on a dating site.
Oh, wow. And what year was that? That must have been a while ago.
That was, I think it was 2014.
Oh, that's not too bad. Oh, wow, that's fantastic.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
And it was amazing because I put myself out there and had to explain about my disability and how it all works and what my disability was. And I remember him asking me, can I talk? And I said, yes, I can, because by this stage, we were messaging each other, so we didn't really meet each other until about a month later. And then we met, and then we were seeing each other for a while, then we moved in together, and it lasted for 4.5 years. So that was a real challenge for me. This was my second relationship, and it was really quite, I was quite impressed, because I wanted to prove to everyone that it can happen with a disability. People can have relationships whether they have a disability or not.
Yes.
So it's a real, for me, it's a real, it gave me a real expectations to carry on. And we're still friends to this day.
Wow, excellent. And so you were upfront with him the whole time, right? Yeah, from the start.
Yes.
That you had a disability.
Yes, yes. Absolutely.
And did your partner have a disability themselves?
Yes, he had diabetes.
Right. So you could definitely relate to each other,
yes,
a lot better.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that was really good. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Wonderful. And Josh, what have your experiences with dating and having Williams syndrome?
I've been finding it very hard because I've got used quite a while. I've been used a lot, and it's really made me realise that the more you try, the harder it gets. But if you stay focused and honest and straight up with that person, then you might get that chance to go out with that person. And if that person says yes, then you might get a chance. And then if I end up going out with someone else, I would like to show them the real me, not the real side of me. I would like to take them places and to just to enjoy life with that person, and to even one day maybe have kids with that person and take them overseas, and because I love traveling, it's sort of in my blood because of my family's half Australian, and I like to take them to places that they may have never been before.
Yes, so being honest and open with your disability really helps in flourishing your relationship, because you have that open stream of communication and what your needs and things are.
Sometimes it's hard, because if you tell that person, oh, you got Williams syndrome, then 5% of the time they don't even want to know you.
Right. Well, from what I know about you, Josh, you're a very lovely young man.
Aww.
Yeah. And myself, having a visual impairment, I mean, I was even told today that people don't even recognise that I have a disability. So it's up to me to disclose that I have a disability. And I think the easiest way for me to do that is online and with dating apps like Tinder or NZ Dating, which I used to use when I was a bit younger. But I think because I do disclose my disability, people think, oh, she's an open person, she's honest, and I'll be able to get along with her because we'll have good conversations and communication. And I have matched and met a lot of people that don't mind my disability. They just want me to be upfront about it.
Yeah.
So they know what they're getting involved with.
Yeah.
So I have had good experiences. Yes. And at the moment, I have a long distance relationship.
Yeah.
And that is a choice that I have made. Even though it is a long distance relationship, there's still difficulties that I have relating to that person and my disability. But they understand. Yes. As long as I keep talking about it and not complaining too much, they get it.
Yeah.
And they want to be involved.
It doesn't matter if you've got a disability, just let your life be your life, and if that
exact
person accepts you for who you are, then by all means, go for that person.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree. Up now is Matt Nomantoa with his spoken word piece. He has cerebral palsy. And then we have Cameron Kruger, who has Asperger's, in his spoken word piece.
This is my human intervention rap. pretty soon you're gonna see what human intervention done to me. Now you may be thinking, is this dude gonna mention human intervention? He just a lizard king, pimped out with bling. But there you're wrong, cause human intervention's in my song. Deforestation affecting the nation. Global warming's given warning when we play PlayStation. Oh yeah, homie, don't flip or switch the station. I'ma broadcast my message across the entire nation. Cute little polar bears getting caught up in snares. Our own Earth's wasting away when we go out to play. Yo, little Timmy, why you look so skinny? It's malnutrition, dude. You hardly have any food. Food chain's got no grip. Pretty soon it's gone slip. Save our food chain. Just use your brain like little Fred over here who saved the food web. Bad unnatural oils affecting our clean soils. You got to be careful not to waste, because then it will be the end of the human race. Emissions running high, government's trying to lie. If you think the ozone layer's cool, you better want to save it, fool. Be a player, save the ozone layer. Yeah, yeah, I'm out.
When life gets us down by methane amateur, when life gets us down, we pick ourselves up. Not because we have to, because we are driven to succeed. We are moving forward. We can't afford to take a step back. This is a life lesson. We learn and we grow. Keep growing.
Well, guys, that was awesome. Well, that's the end of our show today. Thank you for listening in. Thank you also to our sponsors, Renaissance Group. And our last song for today is Bring Me to Life by Evanescence.